Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have today to join together our hearts. We thank you, Father. No matter if it's snow on the ground or hot or whatever, we know that, as Eldon always said, this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice in this day today. We rejoice because you are our Lord and Savior. We rejoice because of the Holy Spirit abiding and dwelling within us. We rejoice because, Father, you are teaching us every moment of our lives. And, Father, thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness, your healing, your health. Thank you for wisdom. And thank you for utterance today, Lord, as we approach this study this morning. And as Brother Eldon brings the message for the main service today, we thank you for utterance. We thank you, Lord, for godly words to proceed out of our mouths. But also we thank you for hearing ears, not only for ourselves, but for the people. And that the seed of the word will be planted deep in our hearts, bringing much, much abundant harvest for many years to come. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. You are so good to us. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're still on our subject, a study in the living word. And this is message number 11 so far in our series. The last one I did was number 9, because I've had other services to do, was the abiding word sets you free. And Mother done one last week, which...
A couple of weeks. There was 2 or 3 weeks I did.
Yeah. And this last one that she did was lining up with God's Word. That was number 10. Today we're going to talk about our minds are renewed by the living Word. The living Word renews our minds.
Amen.
It makes it brand new. It cleanses, heals, delivers. But if we don't receive that word, if we don't bring it into our sense gates and let it abide, it can't renew our mind. We can be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and be a rotten character. Our mind just a garbage heap. But if we'll allow the word of God to enter, it will do its work and it will renew our minds. If we are to live a consistent Christian life, we must renew our minds.
Amen.
You know, God has done all he can. He's given us the word. He's put it on the table. He's made it available, as we talked before we started the message. All over the world, it's available to whoever. The farthest back countries have availability to receive the word of God. The word of God is available to them, whether it's through the internet or through people, missionaries that have been sent. The word of God is available today as it has never been before. It's available. There's no excuse for God's people, especially, not to be have a renewed mind.
Amen.
There's no reason for us to live the way we do in fear and worry and concern and anger and strife. That has no business in a Christian's life. But if we don't take the time to renew our mind, we'll still have the same garbage heap we had before we were born again.
That's right.
And you know, we also need to realize that in Jesus' name, God has given us authority over the devil.
Yes.
Over every demon, principality, power, spiritual
yes.
weapons.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And we need to function in that authority.
Yes.
In love.
In love.
Yeah.
That authority doesn't work if you don't renew your mind.
That's right.
You'll be carnally minded.
That's
right. So he won't have to worry about you. Yeah, you're born again, going to heaven. He can't do anything about that. But if he can keep us away from the word, he can make us ineffective.
That's right.
As far as Christians and walking in our authority. But if we will renew our mind, if we'll be consistent with being in the word, studying the word, developing, meditating on the word, and using the word, acting on it, then he has a problem with us because that authority is working. The angels are grabbing a hold of what we say and they're carrying it out. The Holy Spirit is bringing forth revelation because we are taking the revelation he gives us and we're acting on it. We're giving it out. We're letting it flow through us. So that's why we have to renew our minds so that we can walk in that.
Let me share this. When we were pastoring the church, the Lord called my wife and I into a ministry of deliverance, ministering deliverance to people. It was a sovereign thing. We didn't tell anybody to begin with, and God just began to bring people. He brought people from 24 different states. We were in it for 20 years. And here, let me just share with you, here's what we found out. The number one tool of the enemy is fear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The number two one is pride.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Well, what is fear? We've talked about it many times here. Fear is faith. Mm-hmm. It works by the same principles that faith does. Mm-hmm. They're the same exact laws. You are applying your belief in the form of fear toward the object that you're afraid of. You're acting in faith that thing has the ability to hurt you, to harm you, to do you, to hinder you in some way, or to bring harm to you or someone else. So worry starts, then fear, and you start acting on that. Hope and faith work together the way fear and worry work together. They're the same basic laws, but different results. And we have to be sure that our minds are renewed so that we're functioning in faith and not fear. If we don't renew our mind, we'll go right to pride and worry and fear and anger and all these other things. We'll live that way because that's being carnally minded. We're subject to it. But if we spend the time to renew our mind, if we do that, then we will recognize those opportunities to fear and worry. They'll be there yet, but we just won't participate in them. We'll do warfare with them. We'll keep them out of our thinking. And if we slip and fall, we'll repent and get right back where we were. We'll treat it as a sin to get that thing out of our life. We won't abide in fear.
And you know, being a pastor, I would see a particular person or family in a situation of fear, and I would just do spiritual warfare on their behalf.
Exactly right.
They didn't know anything about it.
Yes.
So I'd take authority in Jesus' name. I would bind those works of fear that I saw. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
How God would set them free.
A lot of times that's all God needs is an intercessor.
Yeah.
An intercessor. And if you went over and talked to him about it, you'd run them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the fear would have worked against you and against the word. But by doing it the way you did, you prepared the ground so that when it was time for the word would do the work.
And the most interesting thing was, so often, here they would come stand up and give a testimony in prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Of the exact victory that God had given them.
Inside, you're just jumping up and down.
You know what? It would just make my heart just...
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Bulge up with thanksgiving.
Oh, yes, yes.
Under the Lord.
Yes, amen, amen. So, if we are to live a consistent Christian life, and that's the key to overcoming, is being consistent. The key to success is being consistently constant.
Oh, that's so true.
And that is so true. If we're consistently constant, even when we fail, we're consistent to get right back. We're consistent to do warfare with those things that hinder us. We're consistent in our relationship with God and in our time in the Word. It's so vital that the Word's first. It's so vital that we treat it as final authority in our life. And then we can start living a consistent Christian life.
Amen.
That's one that is in authority. That's one that God can pour himself through to others and set people free.
And you know something I've noticed through the years? One of the key areas in this thing, working or not working, is in marriage relationships.
Oh. You bet.
Husband to wife, wife to husband.
Oh, yeah. We have to be consistent in our relationship with each other and in how the Word has authority in the home.
Yep.
And Jesus in the middle of it.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 23, Amplified Classic says, "And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude." Be consistently renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Consistently. This is an ongoing process. You know, it's not something I can just do and then I'm done with it. You know, like finishing a project. I've finished the puzzle. It's done. Mm-hmm. Well, in order to do it over, I got to take it back apart. I don't want to. It took too long to get it that way. Well, your project's done. But that's not the way it is with our mind. What is our mind? It's our soul is our mind, emotions, and will. They function together. And the way our mind goes, that's the way our will and our emotions are going to go. Or the other way around, if we allow them to function.
And do you know, I've discovered a key in this whole thing is, for me personally, is do not become too fatigued and worn out.
Right.
And secondly, do not eat improperly.
Right.
When I eat improperly, it just opens the door.
It does.
Yeah.
And if you can be successful in governing an area, or in overcoming in an area, and be constant there, it's amazing how it affects other areas.
So,
now it's easier for you to overcome in another area because you overcome in this one. And it's amazing how. Even in like dieting, if you're able to govern yourself and do a proper diet and be consistent with it, it's amazing how you'll be able to do something else.
Exactly.
Because you're doing it here.
Yep.
And that's the one thing Satan don't want you to do. He yep. don't want you to start succeeding somewhere because he knows it's going to help somebody else, plus it's going to help you be consistent somewhere else.
See, it works in the spiritual area.
Yes.
It works in relationship area.
Yes.
You know, it works in, one of the things I noticed was in the workplace.
Yes.
You know, I had a business for years and a lot of employees. And boy, I tell you, that was one key thing. If I could keep the enemy out of their relationships.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And it was just amazing how much more production would come.
Oh, yeah. They'll bring that to work with them.
Yeah.
They can't help it. It's part of it.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's important how we do this. It's important to be consistent. It's important to make a quality decision. A quality decision is one you cannot back away from. You cannot change. It's one that you've decided that no matter what, I'm doing this. It's quality. Romans 12:2, New King James says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you're conformed to the world, you're not going to understand God. You're going to be carnally minded. You're not going to understand Him. You're going to not be able to hear Him. You read the Word and you're doing it. You're trying to pray. You're trying to hear. Trying to govern your life. But you're doing it out of effort. You're doing it out of what I call white knuckle Christianity.
Yeah.
I will do this. Well, it don't work. You're going to fail somewhere. But if, like I was talking last week and Sunday morning about entering into the rest of God, if we rest in the Word and allow the Word to do the work and we activate that Word and make it final authority, we won't have to white-knuckle our way through.
It's almost like being on vacation.
It is.
It's amazing.
It is.
It is amazing.
Well, one preacher said it's the difference between going up the stairs and taking the elevator.
You may or may not get there on your own effort, but you're going to get there if you rest in the Word.
Oh, boy.
That's what I like at table in Psalm 23. It's a now table, and today there are enemies there. But we're sitting down enjoying the table of the Lord, and the Lord's there taking care of us, and He's doing the fight. We're sitting here. We've got to make decisions, yes, which part to pick up, which thing to eat. But He's taking care of the actual fight. We're just activating it. And that's the way it is. If our mind is renewed with the Word of God, if it's being renewed, then the Word's doing the work. And that's the way God wanted it to be. When it says, ask what you will and it will be done for you, that means that the Word is doing it.
Yep.
It means that the living Word is busy with that project. I've activated it and I'm keeping it active by my faith and my trust and what I do with it. The angels do the work. The Holy Spirit does the work. He's teaching us what our next steps are, helping us with our decisions, strengthening us, granting us the wisdom we need to make the right steps, and He's bringing revelation of the Word we're feeding on. So our spirit man is getting stronger and stronger and stronger because we're renewing our mind.
You know, it's so amazing to me too how the Holy Spirit, now in my personal life, the Holy Spirit so often begins to, while I'm asleep, He begins to move in my spirit and quicken different scriptures or direction to go, or like, it's almost like He comes with a big stick and says, "Now, son, listen."
Yeah.
You know?
You know what that means?
When I wake up of a morning and I say every morning, you know, this is the day the Lord has made, and I just give thanks unto Him.
Yes, yes. He'll do that. The reason it works well when we're sleeping sometimes, it's because our mind's no longer active.
Yep.
And he's able to get through.
Yep.
You know, we're more sensitive to His voice. So we are not to be conformed to this world, Romans 12:2. Mm-hmm. That's a decision I have to make. God's not going to take me out of the world. He wants me not to be conformed to it, but take Him into the world. Mm-hmm. Take His word into the world. And if I'm conformed to the world, that means the world's making my decisions for me. I get mad when they get mad. I get glad when they get glad. I'm sad when they're sad. Whatever the world does, I conform to that. My emotions and my thoughts line up with what's going on around me. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be governing that. I'm supposed to be having it conform to the world, not me conform to it. So that's part of the process of being renewed, and I can't do that without being a student of God's Word. But it says, but, or instead of that, instead of being conformed to the world, I'm to be transformed
by
the renewing of my mind.
My mind.
And that's done by the Word of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is revealed as we renew our mind with the Word. Though His will didn't change, I did.
We just came into the knowledge of it.
I came into the knowledge of it because I positioned myself so that that knowledge would work. So the understanding would come through.
Have you ever fully discovered and understand the mercy of God through repentance?
Oh. Uh-huh.
I mean, hallelujah.
We're returning unto our Father. We're receiving His mercy and grace. And that's part of the renewing of our mind.
Yeah.
To get to that place where my mind says, oh no, I've done so much, I can't come to God. Part of the renewing of my mind is, I can.
Amen.
I can come to God anytime, anywhere, for anything. And His mercy and grace and goodness will overshadow me and wash me. That's why it's so important that we take the time to renew our mind. If we're not consistent with our time frame with God, we will not renew our mind. The world will pull us away instead of us pulling the world, conforming it to the Word.
This is one of the negative things about television.
Right.
There's so many things on there.
Including commercials.
Yes.
Oh, I hate commercials.
So powerful in commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and this is New King James again version. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen.
Glory to God. Where are we placing our focus?
You know, I want to give a little testimony here concerning my wife. She was one that could walk in through every step of life, keeping that focus. She had 26 surgeries in our married life. She took over 73,000 insulin shots in her life. She took 2 blood tests every day for 48 years, and And I heard her complain two times. And she said, "Honey, can I share something with you?" I said, "Yes, you can, darling." She said, "I wish I didn't have to take all these shots and blood tests. But that's all right. I'm just going to trust the Lord."
Yes.
That was her whole soul, her whole spirit, her whole attitude.
And she took that feeling and put it back into the hands of the Lord again. And that's the right attitude. Mm-hmm. She was spiritually minded. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between spiritually minded and carnally minded. It really wasn't a complaint.
No.
It was a desire.
Yeah.
It's the way I look at that, because she immediately took it and put it where it belonged.
That's exactly right.
Instead of, to me, a complaint is one that is extended for
a time. It keeps going.
Yeah, that'll never come to an end.
But that was more of voicing a desire, which I don't see anything wrong with that, you know, honestly.
And can I share something else with you? I'm taking an awful lot of time.
Go ahead, brother.
But I just want to share with you that I have experienced the peace that passes all understanding concerning her going home. I have had no fear. I've had no dread. I've had no sorrow.
Praise God.
I've had no depression.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, it's like we still, when I say we, Joanne and I, we still on a daily basis enjoy fellowship in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, exactly right.
It's
amazing. And without having that earthly covenant together and living the way you did together as one, without that you wouldn't have that now.
And that's the truth.
There'd be grief and sorrow. But now there's an enhanced relationship that is stronger than it was before, because it's spiritual. Mother and I have talked about that a lot, you know, between us. I know that when we leave this earth, that's not the end of our relationship.
No.
I believe we'll have a higher level relationship than we could ever have here. Mm-hmm. Even though we have a strong one now, it's even stronger when it's in fullness of His presence, as well as that covenant that we have together is enhanced to the fullness of what it can be. That's what's ahead for us all. But you have to have the relationship here first. If you don't have the relationship in God here, you're not going to have it there. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's important. And I know that our best years are ahead.
Amen.
And they won't be years, they're eternity.
I've tried to think about everlasting.
You can't.
You can't. Your mind cannot do it.
We cannot grasp.
Never ending.
No matter how we try, we think in references of time.
But you think of heaven and then think about hell.
Oh my.
I can't comprehend either one, really.
I don't want to think about that.
No. Mm. I know hell, the worst part of hell is the absence of the presence of God. Mm. It's the absence of His relationship with you. That's the horror of hell. It's got to be. But anyway, so we have to renew our minds. And it says here, as I mentioned, 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore do not lose heart." See, that's what happens when we start to try to renew our mind. Things don't quite go the way we think they should. We want them to go different. We don't see a change. We see things maybe getting a little bit worse. And we tend to lose heart. We tend to start looking at it through carnal eyes.
And give up.
But we give up. But we can't do that. We have to let the Word be final authority. God's Word says this. So I am going to do that, because that's final authority. And then after a process, as the process goes along, we'll see that changing. But there's a process involved. We don't think in processes. We think in, "I want it done yesterday." But everything's a process. There's no such thing as a suddenly. I don't care if it's a suddenly to me, it still wasn't a suddenly. There was a process that got it to that place where it manifested. And that's the same way here. It says, "Do not lose heart." Well, we lose heart because we get our eye on the situation and take it off of the Word. And that's what Satan wants. He doesn't actually steal the Word. He wants to prevent you from getting into the Word. He's trying to separate you from it. If he stole the Word, it'd get him, it'd destroy him.
Sure.
You know, he's not, he doesn't want the Word itself. He wants to remove you from it. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be your decision, because he can't take you away from the Word. You have to choose that.
You know, I have a grandson that is, he's a born again Christian. But he has gotten off into alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've shared with him, Christopher, he said to me, he said, Grandpa, would you pray for me? How can I get rid of this? I said, Christopher, God has given each one of us the power of decision.
Yes.
And he will not interfere with our decision.
No.
And I said, all you've got to do is make one decision.
Yes.
And never stop walking in.
Yes. That's the now moment. You can make it in the now and make it again in the next now, and you'll succeed. Mm-hmm. But if you make it in the now and you see it as this big one-time thing, you'll not succeed. You'll fail in your next moment, because you'll see it as something impossible. But if you know that I can make it again, I can make it again, I can make it again. I always told my kids, if you're right when you go to bed, you're right when you get up. So just maintain your now moment. Your next now is automatically right when you start, because you finished right. And that's how you maintain that. Eventually that thing leaves. And that's what we're talking about by being consistent. Mm-hmm. Renewing our mind. I have to do it again tomorrow. I have to do it again after a while. Later today. I have to be constantly aware that there's ongoing circumstances that can draw me away, that I have to make another decision. Things are changing around me constantly. I'm changing constantly. So it requires more decisions. Most people don't want to make a decision. They want to make one and that's it. It doesn't work that way. It's an ongoing process.
My sister told me, she quit smoking a long time ago, but she said, you know what, I got to quit every day.
Yeah,
quit every day.
Yeah, you have to do that. That's the way you're successful. You have to have an anchor. You can't just make your mind up to stop. And you can't just quit something. You have to replace it with something.
And you know the devil, he uses the simplest things.
Yeah.
My life is an example. I can tell you simply. Pie and ice cream.
That's not just you, brother.
I made that decision in 2005, when the doctor said he told me, he said, you have non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. And I said, what is that? He said, it's caused by food that your body converts sugars, it converts to alcohol. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you're overusing sugar, like for soda and stuff like that, that's 2/3 sugar, he said, your body treats it as a toxic material, and your liver goes to work on it, and is trying to remove it. So since the foods are turning to sugar, it's constantly working on that instead of getting the other impurities out. So your liver starts dying. He said, it's going downhill, but he said, if you listen to me, we can turn it around. When I went out of his office, I'm not lying, she'll tell you, every single thing I was eating was wrong, or anything.
Not counting a 2-liter of Coke every day.
Everything was wrong. Mm-hmm. Even what I put in my coffee. Mm-hmm. So I had to completely change that. And I started that in 2005. I lost over 100 pounds. And the stuff went away and the liver turned around.
Uh-huh.
But I had to be consistently constant, and I had to keep making that decision.
Yeah. You see, right now, I'm dealing with lymphatic leukemia, which is blood cancer.
Yes.
And I'm just now starting on the route of doing what the doctor says needs to be done.
Uh-huh.
And I'm walking into it as thoroughly as I can.
Yes.
And I would appreciate your prayer.
Absolutely.
The Lord will strengthen you there. Mm-hmm. If you do it in His name.
Yes.
And what I did, I went in there. I didn't want to go to begin with, but my daughter talked me into it because I was hurting. And I thought I had cancer. I'm not cancer, but heart problems. But I didn't. That wasn't the problem. It was while I was eating. My liver was going bad. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to go, but she talked me into it. So I went in there, and he ran all his tests, blood tests, everything else. And that's what he come back with. And when I went out of there, I just said, well, before I went in, I said, Lord, I'm going to take this man's word as your word. He was a Christian, but that I didn't know that. But I said, whatever he tells me is from you. That's the way I'm going to treat this. So you put your word in his mouth for me. And when I went out of there, that's what I had already committed to it. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this because that was your word through him for me. That strengthened me. Uh-huh. And I had to have her help because the cookie was hard on her too. But because I told her, I'm not expecting you to change anything.
Well, I'd change everything.
So she wound up with two different meals.
Yeah.
Still that way. But anyways, she done her part, which helped me tremendously. And I made the commitment, but it was a new commitment every day. And that's the way you walk away from depression. It's the way you walk away from fear. It's the way you walk away from alcoholism,
or
drugs. You drink it every day. Smoking, no matter what it is, you keep making the same decision in your now moment. You can change anything in your now moment. Don't matter what it is. You can change it. But you have to do it again in your next now. Maintaining it. And you have to have an anchor to do that with. You have to replace it with something. I had to replace sugar with something. And I asked him, I said, okay, Doc, if I don't have no sugar in breads or potatoes or anything like that, what do I use? He said, well, you can have all the molasses you want. And I said, I don't really care for molasses that much. He said, okay, well, you can have all the honey you want.
Honey.
Because, he said, honey's natural. He said, it, your body will treat it differently than it does processed sugar. And he gave me some other things. So I started using honey instead of the others. Didn't taste the same, but I got used to it. And the same with anything else. You have to replace it with something. You have to replace this big old pile of mashed potatoes covered in gravy and biscuits and all of those. You got to replace it with something. Lettuce, spinach, carrots, you know, things like that.
Old slaw that you can't chew up.
Yeah, then you have to put it in your mouth. Lord, I love this. You, in the name of Jesus, by faith, I love this. I love it. And the other thing he said, you can have all of that you want. You can pig out on that because it's not going to stay there. And I said, okay, that's not a diet message here today, but it makes the point that we're talking about that we have to be consistently constant in order to renew our mind. In order to renew our mind, we have to have an anchor for that renewal. And the Word of God is supposed to be our anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that diet, I used the Word to anchor myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went in there committed to His Word being God's Word. I asked the Holy Spirit to put His words in His mouth, and I would receive them. So by doing that, I didn't have a return when I went outside, you know, because I already committed to it. And that's the way you have to do these things. You have to commit to something.
And you have to walk by faith.
Got to walk by faith.
Mm. Faith that worketh by love.
Yes.
To God and to the doctor and to your family. And
yes. And it will change things.
Mm-hmm.
It will, because it's His Word, it's absolute truth. Even though He told me not to eat that stuff, I took it as God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
So it was His Word to me. I treated it that way. And it done the work. It done what it was supposed to do. And the body will heal itself. And I pray for you every day, twice a day, Brother Eldon, concerning that leukemia.
Thank you so much.
I call the word up in you because it's working mightily in you.
Yep.
And I know that thing's leaving.
The life is in the blood.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the last time I went to the doctor, my white blood count had been sky high and it had lowered.
Well.
He was amazed. He said, well, he said, I tell you what, he said, we're not going to start treatment at all.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll see you in 3 months.
You're not going to have to be treated.
That's what the Word of God does.
You're not going to have to be treated.
Take that 3 times a day.
The anointing that's in you and the Word that's in you is coming up and taking its place. Because you're calling it forth, and we are too.
We agree.
Praise God. But we can't lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's because the life is in the Spirit. It is the Spirit that brings forth life, and He's abiding in us. And Romans 8:11 talks about if Christ dwells in you, that selfsame Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also quicken or bring to life your mortal body.
Yeah.
But that Spirit that dwells within us, He lives in us. If we're born again, that Spirit is life. So He's bringing life forth. And I confess that over myself and over you guys every day. But we're not going to lose heart. We're going to know that our inward man is being renewed day by day. But we have to stay in the Word. For our, I like the way Paul calls it, our light affliction. You know, some people say light. Paul, look at all Paul went through, and that's light affliction.
We think we're going to die of everything that comes to us.
Stoned to death, where he was actually dead, and they moved, the pile of rock starts moving, and he wasn't dead.
See, he said he had 5 times from the Jews, 39 lashes, 40 lashes less.
That's one.
If you've seen that movie where Jesus was scourged, that Passion movie, and that terrible, terrible scourging scene where he was nothing but a bloody pulp, and we think that happened to St. Paul 5 times.
Think about it.
5 times. He said so.
Yeah,
Light
affliction. That's what I think about when I read that. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment.
Temporary.
That's the way you've got to treat it.
Mm-hmm.
These things that seem so long-winded, I don't care if it's a lifetime effort, it's still temporary.
Yep.
And if it's part of this carnal world, it's still temporary. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's not saying that all this trouble is helping me. It's what I do in the trouble.
Right.
Not the trouble. People read that and they say, okay, I guess I got to go through this for the glory of God. No. That's not what it says. God is not the author of sickness. He's not the author of fear. He's not the author of worry. He's not the author of being destitute, being poor. He's not the author of any of that. But he gives us, he said he will be with us in the midst of trouble. That he will strengthen us in the midst of trouble. It's what we do in the middle of that that causes us to grow and causes us to become stronger. And
that's the time where, in all our ways, acknowledge Him.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Even in that trouble.
And trust in the Lord with all of thy heart.
Uh-huh. And lean not unto your own understanding. That's what He says here. Is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, depending on what I do in the midst of that trouble.
Right.
While we look, and this is what we do, while we look not at the things which are seen. So we're not looking at that trouble. We're not looking at the problem. We're not looking at the issue. We're not looking at the lack of health. It's there. I know it's there. I've got to do certain things. But I don't focus on that. I focus on the answer to that. I turn my eyes on Jesus. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I can't see the Word working, although I know it is. I can see its results.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see the wind, but we can see the result of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't see the Spirit, but we can see the results of his presence.
Yes.
So, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I better quit there. I've got a division point right there, so we'll take up there tomorrow or next Sunday. But if we can just remember that there's a process, I'm involved in the process. A process is happening either for my benefit or against me. If I don't do anything to renew my mind's still going to function.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to function in the wrong area. I'm not going to be spiritually minded, so I'm not going to be able to enter that secret place with God. If I'm not spiritually minded, he's not my Lord in that area. And if he's not my Lord in that area, there's somebody else functioning. Who is it? This nasty, carnal world that we're living in, and the devil and all of his group are functioning.
Amen.
But if I will be consistent in the Word will be doing the work in me. I'll still have the same issues and problems. Some of them I won't have because I made them myself. If I'm not walking in strife, then I'm not going to have problems issued with strife. They might come towards me, but I'm not going to cooperate. Some of our problems that we had that are so big, we manufacture them ourselves.
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh.
We do it because we focus on the wrong thing or we get in strife. Well, there's confusion in every evil work if you're in strife. If you don't want every evil work to work, and if you don't want confusion, then don't get into strife. All you right. battle with it. You have to cooperate for strife to be there. You ever thought of that?
Mm-hmm.
It takes two to fight. If one's not fighting, then the problem's completely the other guy's.
Pride is another area.
Pride is another area. If I don't allow it to function, then I'm submitted to the Father, and he exalts me. He lifts me up. And we can be functioning in pride and not realize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that we have to be constantly on guard on. Well, Father, we thank you for this today. We thank you for teaching us. And we thank you, Father, that as we go through our life, that you'll continuously quicken us as we get into those places of pride and we start functioning in our carnal nature, that by your Spirit, you'll quicken us to where we recognize it. That you'll teach us how to overcome in those areas, that you'll quicken us, that when it comes time to study the Word every day, that you'll quicken us to where we'll go ahead and do that out of love for you. Not as a ritual, but as something that we want to receive from you, we want to fellowship with you. It'll be a desire that we have to have our day enlightened by you and to walk in your steps. Lord, we're so thankful for your mercy and grace. Thank you for taking the time with each of us to teach us and to take us right where we are and lead us where we're to be. Bless Brother Eldon with the anointing as he brings the message today for the main service. We thank you for hearing ears to hear today the voice of your Spirit as he speaks. That we know, as we talked earlier, Brother Eldon and I, that there's times when you'll say things that you know you didn't think.
Mm-hmm.
That's your Spirit moving in us as you speak instead of us through our carnal nature. We thank you that will happen today, and Brother Eldon, as he speaks, that he'll know and will know is the voice of the Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that this word that we receive here and today in the service will enlighten our understanding and be a word with a deep seed in our lives. And
thank
we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.